Welcome to episode 35 of the Reggae Pod Clash, where Man Like Devin, that's me, and Roger Rivas talk all things reggae. This week, however, Roger is off, and I'm running the show solo. My guest is the great singer Errol Dunkley, whose top-shelf voice ruled the Jamaican dances during the Rocksteady and Roots eras of Jamaican music. Quick disclaimer, Errol was experiencing some technical difficulties with his setup at his home in Jamaica, and his connection cuts off several times. Despite that, we felt that the substance of the conversation shines through and that all things considered, it was too cool not to upload. When you're done listening to this podcast, please take a moment to give it a review and a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts, share it with your friends, and then go get yourself some Reggae Pod Clash merchandise by visiting rootfire.net and clicking on the store tab. Also, go give our social media pages a like and a follow. Just search for the Reggae Pod Clash on Instagram and Facebook. And now, let the Pod Clash begin. Yo, what's up, everyone? This is Man Like Devin. Welcome to the Reggae Pod Clash. It's a special episode today in several ways. The most important thing, the most special episode, I mean, aspect of the episode, is that we have the great Errol Dunkley joining us today. Also, Roger, my co-host, Reggae Raj, Roger Rivas, is not going to be joining me today. He is with Jason Mraz in San Diego on the Maranch. They're recording some more music. They're putting out another reggae album and getting ready for some shows. Yes, shows seem to be slowly coming back. And so Roger is down there doing that. And so I am hosting the show myself today. But it should be a really nice convo with Errol Dunkley, who will be joining us in just a bit. But before we get to Mr. Dunkley, I want to read off... We start the show nowadays with the News of the Week segment. And this week, in lieu of the news, I really wanted to talk about another passing in the reggae world that happened this week. April 8th, the great DJ Trinity passed away at the age of 67 on April 8th. And Trinity really was one of the biggest DJs of the 70s. And of course, for anybody watching who might be unfamiliar with these terms, in Jamaica, they use the term DJ the way in America we would say MC, right? And what we call a DJ, the person who spins the records, in Jamaica they call it a selector, right? So Trinity was an MC, a DJ, and just really one of the biggest DJs of the 70s. He got his style super heavily influenced by Big Youth. And some of his, he was born Wade Brammer in 1954. He first started recording under the name Prince Glenn in about 74. And then him and his good friend Dillinger, the DJ, went to Channel One. And Jojo Hukim, one of the owners of Channel One and producer, told him, "I don't like the name Prince Glenn. Let's look in the Bible and find you a different name." So he rechristened himself Trinity and had some huge songs. But he went to Joe Gibbs, and that's where he really had his biggest iconic hit. He convinced Joe Gibbs, who was reluctant to work with DJs at that time, to let him record over a cut of I'm Still in Love. And he cut the iconic three-piece suit, which dancehall fans all over the world know this. They're probably more familiar with the Athea and Donna version, which is Uptown Top Ranking. The original, over that same rhythm, is by Trinity, called Three-Piece Suit. It was a hit. It's been a hit. Stays a hit. And then after that, he was really like the hottest DJ in Jamaica, and his style really went on to influence the way early 80s DJs sounded. And we lost him just a couple days ago. And so because Roger's not here, and so I get to play two records, the first record I want to play today is a tribute to Mr. Trinity. It's called Fire Down a Town.
Noah was the first man going around to speak the truth, but yet the people want to prosecute. Big sound, but that's the truth, yeah. Come to fire down a town, them a burn down a town. Fire down a town, them a run out a town. So fire down a town, they say that fire down a town. Some say that them need a roof over them head, but yet them a burn down out. They just run out a town, and them a run out a town. Come to fire down a town, them a run out a town. Fire down a town, them a burn down town. Fire down a town, a man who's run
in a August town, in a Matty Gongo field. Man Bush run in a August town, in a Matty Gongo field. When I run up a train, when I run from fire, me a till the last can water not the pure fire. Fire down a town, come to fire down a town. Come to sleep, seal, seal fast. Oh, many man, they from boat. Me a tell you why. The ship sails still fast. Oh, many man, they from boat. Boy, them a drift from fire. Fire down a tone. Fire down a tone. Fire down a tone. Just the other day, I had part two brethren and show them to them a black, them not to deal with no violence. The man yam up them culture, yeah. Fire down a tone. Can we say fire down a tone? Just for what I man don't know. Boy, I tell you, know yourself. Say the dread them, know themselves. Say the dread them inside themselves. Behave yourself before you get kicked off the shelf like a cinnamon. Yeah. Fire down tone. Come to fire down tone. Come to fire down tone. Them a run out of tone. Fire down tone. Them a run out of tone. Fire for down tone. But them a run out of tone. Some man say me need an house. Some man say me need a car. Just to make violence, yeah. Yeah. Some of them don't even have time to sit down and praise Jah. The Almighty. Fire down a tone, all they make is fire. Fire down a tone, them a burn down tone. Fire down tone, them a run out of tone.
Man, so that's the DJ Trinity who passed away this week, April 8th, at the age of 67. That's a tune called Fire Down a Town. That's from the album Shantytown Determination. Hitter from start to finish. It was reissued by the Great Blood and Fire label some years ago. This is it. And it's got five bonus tracks on it. That is the tune called Fire Down a Town. It's all a Yabby U production. And that rhythm, excuse me, that rhythm is over a Johnny Clark. That's Johnny Clark's version of It's True by the Heptones. That's the original cut of that rhythm. Heavy. Heavy, heavy. And Trinity, his influence was huge. And I just want to thank him for all the music and say rest easy. And now, for the record of the week segment, to officially begin, I'm going to play my record. As I said, if you're joining us late, Roger Rivas is not with us today. It's just me, but we have the great Errol Dunkley coming on. I'm looking at three different things. The great Errol Dunkley is joining us soon. But I want to play my record of the week. And this is a rarity, this one. It's labeled by an artist named Vincent March. It's called Don't Cry. But I have a strong suspicion that this is mislabeled, and this is not the name of the song, and it might not even be the name of the artist. Who knows? But we're going to listen to it and then talk about it on the flip side. This is, supposedly, Vincent March with Don't Cry.
It can help you. You run to the rocks, it can hide you. You run to the hills, it can help you. You run to the rocks, it can hide you. Israelite shout to Jamon this day. Oh, guide my soul, niggas. Oh, oh, guide my soul. Say we were pressed by the wicked one. It's not the time to rock, my friend. roll up your head and shout to Jaman, yes. Oh, guide our soul, Niga. Oh, oh, guide our You run to the hills, it can't help you. You run to the rocks, it can't hide you. You run to the hills, it can't help you. You run to the rocks, it can't hide you. Israelite, shout to Jaman this day. Oh, guide our soul, niggas. Oh, oh, guide. Every dog must see them on their own bottom. See, every dog must see them on their own bottom. When the man appear, when the man appear, when the man appear, when the man appear. Why oi, why oi? Why I, why I, yeah, why I, why I, why I, why I.
Yeah, that's a tune that's labeled as Don't Cry by Vincent March. And like I said, I don't think that that is called Don't Cry, because he never says don't cry in the tune. So I have a feeling that it's just completely mislabeled. But regardless, it's on the flip side of Freddie McGregor's Roman Soldiers 10-inch, which I've shown on the show before. And by the way, you can't see me right now because with Roger not here, the way this platform works, if there's not two of us, it doesn't like let me show up in this slide. But you'll see me soon when we bring on Mr. Errol Dunkley. But you can hear me. And so this tune is 1983. It's a hit-bound 10-inch single out of Channel 1. It's a beautiful tune. The lyrics are, every dog must sit down on him own bottom when Jaman appear. And he never says don't cry in it. So that's what makes me think it's mislabeled. But it's just a beautiful, one of those one-off tunes that we talk about all the time on the show that, you know, and we had Freddie McGregor on the show a few months ago. And this is, you know, the flip side of his Roman Soldiers 10-inch. And I wish I had asked him about this. I asked him about the song Roman Soldiers, but I didn't think to ask him about the flip side. And I should have, because I've always wanted to know about this artist. It's such a beautiful song. The rhythm is heavy. Roots Radix, that kind of like, the snare only comes in at the end. It's like the kick is like on the 1, 2, and 3, and then the snare hits on the 4. You know, it's a unique drum beat. Beautiful melody. It's got that Channel 1 Radix sound. And it's 1983, so I mean, pretty soon after that, the sound started to get more sophisticated and clean. And that's really one of the last years where the Radix and Channel 1 really sounded that way. So I mean, that's just a beautiful tune for me. If I ever learn more about it, or if anybody listening, as is probably the case, knows more about that song than I do, please let me know. But that is... I'll show you my copy here. See, this is... Channel 1 hitbound 10-inch. It says Don't Cry by Vincent March. The flip side is Roman Soldiers by Freddie McGregor. And when we had Freddie on the show, he told us about this, that that's Dennis Brown playing bass on his side of that record. I wonder if he's on both sides. Who knows? But that's the record of the week segment, Vincent March, Don't Cry. And as always, our Record of the Week segment is brought to you by the Root Fire Reggae Pod Clash merchandise store. You can head to rootfire.net and click on the shop tab, the store tab, and pick up your Reggae Pod Clash gear. You can get a hoodie, a mug, a hat, beanies, shirts, all kinds of nice stuff. All the proceeds go right to supporting the upkeep of the show. It's a non-profit show, but we do have some expenses, and so every time you order merch, it really helps us keep this show running. So we appreciate that. And before we bring our special guest on, I want to mention real quick, as always, we are doing a giveaway. And this week, courtesy of VP Records, big up VP, we are giving away the Total Reggae box set CD. This is a 14-disc CD box set. 14 CDs. And they're all thematically labeled. So there's like a CD full of number ones, a CD full of classic roots. There's one called Gangsta for Life. It's like newish dance hall. There's one called Natural High. That's all ganja tunes. There's a ska CD. There's a dub CD. There's one that's full of green sleeves, rhythm driven songs. So if you want to get this, my copy that VP hooked me up with, I got to say big up Carter and big up VP. I don't even want to open it because it's like, it's just so cool. Looks like it's just awesome the way it is. I know you guys want to win this. So you can go in the description in YouTube of the YouTube channel here and you'll find the link to enter. And I think you can enter by this Friday, but you might even have longer. But don't wait. Go enter because it's a heavy, heavy box set in more than one ways. So go do that. And now, without any further ado, I want to bring on our special guest, one of the great voices in Jamaican music who has been recording since the 60s, some of the greatest rocksteady reggae tunes that have ever come out of Jamaica. His voice is synonymous with reggae music and rocksteady music and Jamaican music. Please welcome to the Reggae Pod Clash, Mr. Errol Dunkley. Yes.
Yeah, greetings.
So nice to have you. Thanks for joining us.
Nice to be here.
All right, we
nice
got it working.
I want to say greetings to everyone who is listening. It's a pleasure to be on your show, man.
It's really a pleasure to have you. It's an honor to talk to you. So you're in Jamaica, which is still under curfew, right?
Right. until 8 o'clock tonight. Yeah, so then from Friday we close down again for 3 days.
So what does that mean? You can't leave the house. Monday. So you just can't leave the house at that time, or what does that mean? How does that work?
Yeah, no, you can't leave, man.
Wow. So you got to just have all your groceries.
You have to stay in for 3 days.
That's intense.
Saturday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Wow.
So.
That's intense.
So we are only open up till tomorrow. Then after tomorrow, it's locked down again, bro.
Man, then no exceptions, huh? You can't leave to go get food or anything like that.
No, you make sure you get your food from Thursday.
Wow. How long has that been in effect?
Well, we've gone 2 weeks now. The third week coming up.
And it's just
we used to close that from 6 o'clock. All business place have to close. 8 o'clock, you're not supposed to be seen on the street as the cops then pick you up and charge you some big money.
Wow.
You know, so you have to be indoors. But Friday, Saturday and Sunday, no place is open, man. No time of the day.
Wow, that's a stricter lockdown than here. People are out and about around here, but maybe they shouldn't be. So I want to talk to you. I mean, we've got Errol Dunkley on the show. We got to get into the music. I wanted to talk to you about your start and your childhood, and what kind of musical environment and experiences were there for you as a child.
Yeah, well, as a child, I started out recording when I was 11 years old for Prince Buster. But I never had any success with Prince Buster until I started singing for Joe Gibbs and the Amalgamated label. I had my first hit song when I was like 14, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I had three number one songs in Jamaica at the time, 1964, 65, 66, you know?
That was all with Joe Gibbs.
Active. Yeah. I record for other people like Rupi Edwards, Sonia Pattinger,
right,
Cox and Downbeat, Joe Creed of Treasure Isle,
right,
Bunny Lee. I record for a lot of artists, but I record for myself as well, because Gregory and I, we formed the African Museum label.
Right.
Which was, yeah, our label. Because the producers, them, wasn't treating us good. So we decided we were going to do our own thing. So that's when we started the African Museum label. And I record myself, license songs to people like Rupi Edwards, Sonia Pattinger, and other independent producers, you know what I mean?
Right.
So we were always in the business doing our own thing, even though we are recording for other producers, you know?
Right. And when you got started, before you were having those hits, I know you did a duet with Roy Shirley, right?
No, I've never sung with Roy Shirley.
Oh,
they
no?
put that
oh.
in the record book of history, but I always have to correct that. I never did any song with Roy Shirley. Roy okay. Shirley and I used to sing for same producer. But we never compile, you know.
I got it. Okay. Well, I'm glad you corrected that. Yeah.
Song that we did together. Yeah.
I'm glad you set that straight, because I had always read that before, so that's good to know. So
yeah,
so Prince.
Me too. But that's wrong in right. the reggae history book. That's not how it goes, man.
Mm-hmm. So Prince Buster mm-hmm. was the first producer you recorded for then.
That's right. I was a kid.
Right. And were you, at that time, when you were a kid, I mean, before you even started recording, I mean, were you writing songs as well as singing?
Sure, yeah. Yeah, I was going to school and writing songs, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and get myself involved, because I always loved to sing when I was a kid. Every American song that play on the radio, I used to know it just like that. Just listening it twice and I know the song, you know?
Nice.
Yeah. I used to be quick like that. But then I wrote a lot of songs, you know? But I was cheated out of my royalties by Joe Gibbs. Because I had an album with Joe Gibbs, and he registered my songs, saying that he wrote my songs, you know what I mean? And that was false.
That's unfortunately the story.
Because you see,
go on.
What you said?
Oh, I was just saying that's unfortunately the story that we hear so often. It's that would happen to so many artists.
Yeah, you know. But you see, Joe Gibbs, he was such a cheater, you know, because they ran him out of the music business, out of the industry, because he had J.C. Lodge done over a Charlie Pride song, and he registered it that he's the writer. And they sued him.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And he couldn't do no more recording business. He had to leave the thing alone, you know? They run him out of it.
Wow.
Sue him, you know?
So it was experiences like that made you and Gregory just say, like, we need to start our own label.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah,
how did
when we start our... When we start our own label, that was a better move for us, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because he was the youngest producer.
Right. And were you producing other artists at that time besides just doing your own tunes?
No, I produced other artists as well, but I was never benefited from producing other artists. Because Gregory and I, we started people like Big Youth. We first took Big Youth to the studio.
Wow.
And recorded him. Yeah. And Gussie Clark, we introduced him to the business. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And the first two songs that he released was two rhythm track I gave him. You know, one of them he put Uri on it, called The Eye of the Mountain.
Mm-hmm.
And the next one with Big Youth, called Mr. Tipper. Tipper Tone sound, because yeah. Big Youth was the DJ on that sound. He did the song called Mr. Tipper Make You Rock, so.
Right.
And the first album that Gussie Clark of Anchor Record, you know, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I was the one who produced that album, but he didn't give me no credit, you know what I mean?
Right.
I bring him in the business. Yeah. Our BSA, Robbie Shakespeare.
Yes.
I first took him to the studio.
Really?
And we did a song called You'll Never Know. That's the first song he has ever done.
Wow. What year was that?
That was in 1971.
Wow.
72, somewhere around there. And Robbie Shakespeare, we used to work with Robbie and his brother and Glenn Adams and Reggie.
Mm-hmm.
These musicians were our musicians before Bob Marley wrote them in and called them Wailers.
Right.
Yeah. Family Man and his brother. All of us been recording them because they were like studio musicians. Every producer that used them gave them a different name. If
right.
they work for Lee Perry, they are called Upsetters. They work for Bonnie Lee, they are called Aggravators.
Right.
They work for me and Gregory. They're called African Museum All Star.
Yeah.
They were just session musicians.
And when they worked for Jimmy Radway, right? And they were the Femi Time All Stars?
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Because Jimmy was the one that I did Black Cinderella for.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to ask you about that. Go ahead.
I say every producer they work for, give them a different name.
Right.
Success All Star. That's Rupi Edwards.
Rupi Edwards.
At the time, you know what I mean. So they were like studio musicians until Bob. Bring them together and call them Wailers.
Right.
So we've been working with them long before Bob.
I wanted to ask you about working with the Barrett brothers and Reggie specifically in the context of Jimmy Radway and the Femi Time All Stars, because that to me that congregation of you doing tunes like Black Cinderella and probably my favorite Errol Dunkley song, which is Keep the Pressure Down. And working with Jimmy Radway,
yeah.
and then the Femi Time All Stars just had this sound at that time, and I feel like that era, that combination doesn't get enough credit. Like a lot of people don't even know who Jimmy Radway is, you know. And I wanted to ask you about those sessions.
True.
You know, I wanted to ask you about what those sessions were like, recording "Keep the Pressure Down" and "Black Cinderella," and working with all those amazing musicians at that time.
Yeah, well, Jimmy never stick one set of musicians. You know? Like Cinderella wasn't recorded by the Barrett brothers. It was like different musicians. Like some of them musicians, I can't even remember the names, but
let's see.
They were mostly Treasure Isle musicians. Yeah.
So really, it wasn't
Treasure Isle musician.
So it wasn't the Barrett Brothers on Black Cinderella then?
No.
Wow.
It was Treasure Isle musicians. I can't remember some of them name now, like Ox Brown, Winston Wright on keyboard, Jackie Jackson on bass.
Mm-hmm. So that's like Sound Dimension crew.
No, more Treasure Isle.
Okay.
These were the musicians that was working at Treasure Isle with people like Alton and John Holt.
Right.
And other artists as well, like Ethiopians.
Mm-hmm.
Them. These were musicians that play Black Cinderella, but true like Movie Star, You'll Never Know, You're Gonna Need Me. You're Gonna Need Me was friend musicians, because the Barrett brother never came around at that time yet. You know,
right.
It was other musicians that Joe Gibbs used to use.
Right.
Uh-huh. Yeah, so.
But for Jimmy Radway, when you did the tune "Keep the Pressure Down," was that the Barrett Brothers on that one?
No, it was those musicians I told you about.
Oh, same
Jackie
ones,
Jackson
okay.
And B.
Got you.
Ox Brown on guitar, Winston Wright on keyboard. Winston is gone now, still, you know what I mean?
Yeah. But Ox Brown, too.
Yeah. These are the musicians. Yeah. These are the musicians that we used to work with at the time. Because I have album that I recorded in England called Sit and Cry.
Mm-hmm.
Those were the musicians that I imported to come to England, and we did the album in England. Sit and Cry. I don't know if you ever heard that album before.
What year was that?
That was like that was like 73, 74.
Okay, yeah.
74, 75, those time, when I first went to England.
And were you living in England at that time, or were you coming back and forth a lot?
No, I was living in England, but I always come back and forth. Because I always come home and do recording. Channel One. And some other studio, because I came home and I did an OK Fred album.
Right.
Which I licensed to Shelly Record, and it was later licensed by Warner Brothers that took it in the British chart.
Right.
And I did license it to a French company that took it to number one in the French chart, you know? And that's my biggest song up to now, up to date. Right.
It always amazes me how clean that song is. When you listen to it, the recording quality, it just sounds like way, way cleaner than a lot of the stuff happening at that time. It's always like really impressive when you hear it.
That's right, yeah. That was Sly and Robbie.
Hmm.
Yeah,
we
record at Channel One.
And What year did you record OK Fred?
Yeah, a lot of work. OK Fred was 76. I recorded it in Jamaica, and it went into the British chart 78.
Wow. So it was a little lag. Well, yeah, for 76, man, that tune, just for being recorded in 76, it's just got such a high quality on the recording.
Yeah, that's right. Because those times we were creating and inventing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So that's why it had those quality in it.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Another song I wanted to ask you about was a tune you did for Coxon called Way Down Low. And that's always just one of the heaviest tunes to me. I mean, it's just heavy, like, just roots. That tune is just like, it sounds so much like Studio One, you know, you just, the second you hear it, and then your voice on it and the lyrics and everything. So anything you remember about that session or writing that tune, I would love to hear.
Well, that song was written by Prince Allah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was written by Prince Allah, but then Cox requests me singing it, you know?
Wow. That's a heavy tune.
Cox requested it, but...
Do you remember do you have any memories of that session and what, like, who the musicians were on it?
Yeah, they were Jackie Mitoo, Leroy Sibbles and bass, Jackie and piano, Ox Brown and guitar. So much musicians, most of them passed off now.
Right.
Most of them passed away now. You know, but it was Studio One outfit.
Right. And did you have a better experience with Coxon than you did with Joe Gibbs?
No. No. But I tell you, Coxon is a teacher, man. Mm-hmm. And a lot of things from Mr. Dad at Studio One, you know.
But it was the same. All right, we're going to charge the phone real quick.
I'm going to charge.
All right. Well, that's we're talking to
I'm
going to
put the charger in now.
Okay, cool. Do your thing. We're talking to Mr. Errol Dunkley, if you're just joining us live. He's at his home in Jamaica, where there is a curfew. And so gotta stay in and do the interviews from home, but we're very happy to have him. Oh. And looks like we lost him. He'll probably come back in. These are the challenges of being in different spots when we do these interviews. But really interesting, because he was saying right now that on the Femi Time All-Stars recordings that it wasn't the Barrett Brothers, because all the Jimmy Radway, like this album that Pressure Sounds put out, it lists the musicians for everything as Carlton Barrett, Family Man Barrett, Reggie Lewis, Tyrone Downey, and he's Errol's being pretty adamant that it was not those musicians, but it was more of the musicians that recorded at Treasure Isle. He was saying Hux Brown and others. So that's interesting, because I had always read otherwise, but he was there, so he knows. Hopefully Errol will get back on with us here soon. You know, because there's a curfew in Jamaica, he's having to do the interview from home on his phone rather than in a studio, so sometimes that causes these technical difficulties. But thanks to everybody who's joining in right now. He'll be back on 808 Hawaii Vibes. What's up? He says, saw Errol at Dub Club. I'm going to ask him about Created by the Father and Little Way Different, for sure. But I appreciate the good words. What up, Nate? Our good friend, Nate Feinstein from Ayaterra, is in the comments. Yeah, big up everyone. Errol's having a little bit of technical difficulties, but I think he'll come back on here in just a second. Going to give him a few minutes. While we're waiting, I want to remind everybody that you can get your Reggae Podclash merchandise at the Podclash merchandise store, rootfire.net. There's some cool stuff up there. I'm always wearing my hoodie, and I'm always drinking out of my Reggae Podclash mug. Check it out. And if you're just joining us and wondering where my co-host Roger is down in San Diego with the one and only Jason Mraz, recording some new tunes for his new upcoming reggae album. Of course, we had Jason on earlier in the year in 2020 to talk about what was then his brand new record, which was all reggae, killer musicians on it, John Asher and Cheekies Lasoya from The Expanders, Roger Rivas on keys, Stephen Suckery on guitar from New Kingston, and he's got a lot of those same people from that crew down there recording with him now. Maybe I'm not even supposed to be saying this, but guess what? When you leave me alone to do an interview by myself, these are the kind of things that I'm going to talk about. 808 Hawaii Vibes says, why do you think the musicians are different on the record sleeve? I don't know. It could be that Errol is maybe remembering a different session than what we're talking about. It's always hard to tell. These things are a long time ago, you know? Or maybe, maybe the mistake really is just on the sleeve. Let's see. So if you're just tuning in, Errol's having some technical difficulties. We were talking and then he had to charge his phone and it dropped the call. I'm pretty sure he's going to call back in here, so we're going to give him a little more time. Javier says, my future lies ahead of me. Would that be his first recording? I will ask him. He said he did his first recordings for Prince Buster, but he already corrected me on some misinformation that's out there, because I had always read that his start in music was a duet with the great Roy Shirley. And he said, no, that is not true. He's read that as well, but that that is not the case. So it's good to set the record straight about that. It's one of the reasons why we love having this show, because, you know, you read all kinds of stuff and information gets collected and posted and taken as gospel, but nothing like talking to the artists to really tell you. And it's just, you know, it's saddening to hear the same story over and over about all these artists just getting really screwed over by the producers. And, you know, names like Joe Gibbs and Coxon that are revered by us music fans, and rightly so. But there's so many sides to that story, you know, and unfortunately the money was not always paid the way it should have been. And artist after artist talks about it. And it's interesting because whenever anyone that we've talked to who recorded at Studio One brings up Coxon, it's always like the same thing. It's like, yeah, you know, didn't pay me what he owed me, but man, he was a teacher and I learned so much from him. And it's really interesting that that's kind of been like, there's almost been a sentiment of like forgiveness of like, yeah, well, what are you going to do? It was Coxon. So it's interesting to hear that from yet another artist like Errol. So if you're just joining us, Errol's having some technical difficulties. And let's see, I'm getting a text from him right now. Yeah, he's signing back in. So we'll have him back on here in just a second. Hang tight. These are the difficulties you encounter sometimes when you're in different parts of the world. He'll be back in. But, you know, if you have any questions to ask Mr. Dunkley, just put them in the comments here. And as soon as he's on, I will be sure to ask him about it. I've got a bunch more questions to talk to him about. I didn't know until doing research for this interview that he started the African Museum label with Gregory Isaacs. I've always known about African Museum because Gregory Isaacs released so many great tunes on that label, and I knew it was Gregory's. Neil says, tell him to turn a light on if possible. Yeah, the thing is, when we in the little sound check, when we had him go in the room with the light, it was too far away from the modem. So I think it just kind of is what it is for this interview. Because of the curfew in Jamaica, he didn't want to go to a studio and do it. And so he's at his house with his phone on his WhatsApp rather than being in a studio with a professional camera and all that stuff. So, you know, we'll have to bear with the technical difficulties and the low light in exchange for getting some of these stories firsthand from Errol. We did try to sit him in a... Here we go. All right.
Yeah, I'm back.
All right. I can hear you. There you go. Now I can see you.
All right.
Yeah. All right, round two.
Round two.
There's been some questions that people have been asking while you were getting your phone hooked back in, and one of them is about Javier Roa wants to know if the tune "My Future Lies Ahead of Me" would be your first recording.
No, that wasn't my first recording. Oh gosh, you know that song, man. A lot of people don't know that song. That song was written by Prince Buster. Yeah, mm-hmm. When I was like 11, 12 years old, you know,
mm-hmm.
He wrote that song and I did it.
So that wasn't the first, but that was near the start probably, right?
Yeah, that was like my third song.
Wow. Okay, there you
go.
Yeah,
long before songs like You're Gonna Need Me.
Right.
Please Stop Your Lying, Girl. I'm Going Home. You'll Never Know. That song was before all of these songs. Okay, Fred, all of them.
Right. And did songs like that, even, you know, but these early ones we're talking about, did they get, and you know, when you were so young, did they get played in the dance hall at all? Did sound systems play those songs? Oh. Looks like he froze again. Let's see. Hopefully it's not me that's frozen. Is everybody still seeing the feed? Yeah? Okay. Okay, he's frozen. Yeah, you know, well, while we're waiting, I will tell everybody that we are switching. At the end of May, we are switching to a pre-recorded format for the Reggae Pod Clash because of stuff like this. It's hard to... okay, we lost him. Well, you know, we might have lost him I'll give him one more chance to come back in, see if they can fix the technical difficulties. But if not, like I was saying, we're going to be switching to a pre-recorded format because until we can really get to doing interviews in person, it's, you know, you encounter situations like this, especially with artists in Jamaica who are on lockdown because of COVID. And so it's hard for them to get to studios. And so a lot of times if they're doing it in their house with bad reception, then you get issues like this. And it's just, you know, it doesn't make for a great listening experience. So I will tell everybody that 2 weeks from today, we have Soul Syndicate on the show, which I'm stoked about. We have the great Tony Chin and one of, if not both of, Santa Davis and Fully Fullwood. Two of those three artists will be joining us for sure. That's two Wednesdays from now, the 28th. And then two Wednesdays after that, for our final Wednesday night episode, we're going to have the great Winston Jarrett, which I'm super stoked on. I got the chance to play in Winston Jarrett's band with the Expanders long ago. He's a great guy, one of the great, just great figures in Jamaican music, and so we're going to have him on. And then after that, we're going to switch to a pre-recorded format. We might still go live and do it, but it'll be kind of like at just whatever times we can. I think we'll still go live to give everyone a chance to do the live commenting, but that's evolving. But I just want to tell everybody, that's one of the things we're going to do, just really in an effort to improve the show, because it's, you know, it's disappointing when you get an artist of the caliber of an Errol Dunkley, and then, you know, things like the timing, because the show's at night and he couldn't get to a studio because of the lockdown, causes the reception. Here, let's see. Let's try it again. Mr. Dunkley's back in. All right.
Sorry about that, Ben.
That's okay. It's the way it goes sometimes. That's the way it goes sometimes. No worries. Thanks for keep trying.
Yeah, but
let's see. Oh. Okay. Well, that's just that looks like it's just gonna the way it's gonna be. So as we are going to switch to these to a different format that will be more conducive to getting better quality out of more artists, we will definitely have Errol back on sometime over the summer. And he, I want to tell everybody that he has a new album coming out April 30th. It's called Cool Runnings. He sent it to me. I listened to it. It's really, really good, as only, you know, you wouldn't expect anything else from Errol. But, you know, I have to admit that sometimes with really like classic artists, I might be like skeptical of what their new recordings are going to sound like sometimes. And man, don't worry about this one. It sounds great. I can't wait for everyone to hear it. It's called Cool Runnings. It's out April 30th. I even have the artwork here. I don't even know if I'm supposed to show it, but I'm going to show it anyway. Here it is. Cool Runnings by Errol Dunkley, coming soon April 30th on all the proper platforms. It sounds great. It's recorded really nicely. So I think we're going to call it a wrap for tonight. I will talk to Errol's manager, and we will reschedule a show with him where we can do it with proper quality and all that, and get Roger on here and do it right. Thank you everyone for tuning in. We will be back on April 28th with Soul Syndicate, Tony Chin, Santa Davis, Fully Fullwood, two of those three will be on with us for sure. But until then, everybody remember to go subscribe to the podcast, and we will see everybody very soon. Bye-bye.